So we're gonna do Oracle Course, and Oracle Course is just me opening the book up anywhere, and then all through the hour, and just see what it is. Now, what I'd like to ask you to do is think about some issue that's up in your life right now. If I got one, something that you wish was a little, you know that thing that you tell yourself, if this was different, I'd be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Just, you've got a lot of them, though. Okay, just pick one. And so then I'm going to see what spirit tells us, first of all, in terms of the best way to deal with it. So this is a message. Okay. Page 282, the circle of atonement. I might not go no more than a few sentences or a paragraph or whatever. You know, I'm going to totally let spirit direct this hour. I'm not going to try to plan anything. In other words, it's going to be a regular class.
It's so hard for Virgo.
I know it. It's time to stretch. You can do it, Virgo. You can do it. Just focus on the precise words on the page. Give yourself a little detail. You know, you'd be like, okay, I'm back. Okay. Give that Virgo some detail. They'll cool right out. Okay. Yeah, so here we go. It says, the circle of atonement. The only part of your mind that has reality is the part that links you still with God. So the only part of your mind is, okay, in this situation that you're in right now, remember that the only part of your mind that's real is the part of your mind that's linking you to love. Like whatever you're thinking about right now, realize that there's nothing real about what you're thinking except the part of what you're thinking that's linking you to love. So the only thing that you're thinking that means anything is anything that's still linking you to love. So if you're thinking something right now and you don't feel really linked to love, then you're not thinking something that's real. Okay, you with me? Now, we don't have to agree. I'm just telling you what the Course says. It has nothing to do with converting anybody or getting anybody to believe me or anything like that. I'm telling you, because I'm going to believe what I want to believe, whether you believe it or not. And you're going to believe what you want to believe, whether I believe it or not. So I gave that one up. I don't want anybody to believe what I believe anymore. It's so freeing. Do you know that when you don't believe, you don't care what anybody else believes, you don't have any opposition to your beliefs? Do you know that when you don't care what anybody else believes, there won't be any opposition to your beliefs? So if you're getting a lot of opposition right now, it's because you care about what somebody else believes. So that's what opposition is coming, because you care. Okay? And so the Course then says, would you have all of your mind transformed into a radiant message of God's love? The only part of your mind that is real is the part that still links you to love. Do you want your whole mind transformed into a message of love? Now I want a big widescreen TV. That's what I think about. I don't think about having my mind transformed into a radiant message of love. I think about gas and how much it costs. And then he says, do you want your mind transformed into a radiant message of love so that you can share that with all the lonely ones who have denied God? See, of course, the definition of lonely is people who are denying God, people who are denying love. And so it just asks us, we want our whole mind transformed into a radiant message so that we can give these people around us who have forgotten about love, the love that they're denying to themselves. Do you want your whole mind transformed into happiness? Do you all want your whole mind transformed into happiness? Okay. And the only part of your mind that is real is the what part?
The part that's linked to God,
the part that's linked to God. So by definition, are we thinking unreal thoughts most of the time?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So we want our mind transformed into a radiant message of love to share with all the lonely ones who are denying God, right? Okay. Then there's one key element to making that possible is to understand that you don't make it possible.
Say that again.
Okay. You want your mind transformed into a radiant message of God's love. Okay. To have that happen to you, you have to realize you do not do it. am not the one to transform your mind.
Woo, how un-American.
Isn't that a trip? That sounds like brainwashing. Telling me I'm not the one to transform my mind. You know, I'm waiting for him to say, well, I'm the one to transform your mind.
Don't you okay. make the choice?
I just want, the only thing I want you to I want to ask you to focus on.
Okay.
Is that you are not the one
okay.
who's going to transform your mind into a radiant message of God's love. Because I think that that's what a lot of us are diligently doing all the time. We are busy in these classes and reading these books and going to work. And everything we do, we're diligently trying to transform ourselves into this higher being. Is that pretty close guess? Mm-hmm. And the Course is saying that God makes it possible, not you. Okay? Now, love in your life, the happiness that you're looking for in your life, the thing that you really want more than anything else in your life, the thing that you long for, it is yearning to be known. The thing you want more than anything in the world is yearning that you know it. Love is yearning to be known. I mean, this book is deep. I'm just reading this out the book. It's so awesome. Then it says, you are yearning for love. That's what we are yearning for. I'm really yearning for love. But guess what? Love is yearning for me as much as I'm yearning for love. How many, for the last time somebody walked up to you and said, Robin, I'm yearning for you.
So long.
Don't that feel? That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. I'm here to yearn for you.
I'm here to yearn for you too.
Thank you very much. I'm in the right class. Only ministers down there. I might go to hell. Okay. I'm one too. So, check the. Oh, I know all y'all look like y'all could keep a secret. I feel so confident. It's so funny, I bit my tongue. That's why I'm so glad it's not real. Oh, yeah, I'm just gonna hit the one that happens, man. You know, it's like a part of me says, you will not speak the truth. And if you do, you sound weird when you do. I'll embarrass you because you won't sound right. And you get embarrassed. Y'all know about embarrassment? Anybody familiar with that? Anybody ever felt it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It sucks, doesn't it? And you feel embarrassed. You know, it's so funny when you watch grown people fall. It trips so hard. Even if they're not hurt, they'd be like tripping, you know. Better see. It's so funny. Grown people hate to fall. That's the funniest thing you ever say. I don't want nobody to be hurt, but if they're not hurt, it's hilarious, okay? Miss Wade, that, you know. That's what many of my friends do. We check and make sure we're all right. You know, and then once we realize we're out, we laugh at whatever it is we just did. You know, that's what you want somebody in your life for. You want somebody who will laugh at your errors and not crucify you with them. Mm-hmm. I'd much rather you laugh at my mistakes than take every mistake I made and try to hurt me with it. Mm-hmm. So, this is so loving, it's gonna be deep. I'm gonna let you hear how beautiful the Course in Miracles is. It started out by telling us that the only part of our mind is real is the part of our mind that still links us with God. Then it asked us, well, do you want to have your whole mind transformed to love so you can share it with the people who are denying love? Well, you don't even have to do it. God does. Do you know that God is yearning and love and your happiness is yearning for you? And do you know that you're yearning for your love and your happiness, and your love and happiness is yearning for you, and you're yearning for your love and happiness? And do you know that this is going to happen forever, that you'll always have love wanting to get to you? Love will always be wanting to get to you.
Isn't it ever going to find us?
I believe it is. I have the theory that love has already found us, but we don't recognize it.
Right.
I believe love is right here in this room right now. And all of us are looking for it. Right? But we keep hearing it right here, right? So that means to me, don't you think that that means that we don't know what love looks like?
Yes, absolutely.
So since we don't know what love looks like, well, why don't we forgive everybody who look like they don't love us? So I must be holding a grievance because I think I know what love looks like, and you're not doing it. But if I knew what love looked like, why would I be so pissed off all the time? Broken into by periods in which I take a walk in City Park. I don't know what love looks like. I don't know what love looks like, and I would like all the blocks to love to be removed from me so that I can feel it and I can see it and I can know it constantly. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Anybody else want to know? Okay. What do we need to remember? We are not the ones to make it happen. You're not going to be the one who wakes you up. You're the one asleep. Kind of funny, you know what I'm saying? It's like telling somebody to wake you up in the morning, but you can wake yourself up. It's easy to let somebody wake you up. Then you can sleep without the anticipation of having to wake up. So go ahead and enjoy this sleep that's called being a human in Denver. This is the dream that we're having right now. I enjoy my phone calls. And you think if I get through doing that, it's going to be some bad news at the end?
No, it won't. No, it won't.
It won't be no bad news. You do all that before you answer your phone? Okay. I used to do this. Yeah. You don't know who it is. You know? Okay. Then the Course says, why don't you accept what's not going to ever change?
That being?
The fact that love is yearning for you and you're yearning for love and you can't make you can't make love. There's no such thing as making love. I hear people say that thing is hilarious. You make fear. Mm. And that's what happens after most making love. Is fear. Am I pregnant? Is it a disease on the way? Was it the right thing to do? Do they really love me? Am I really special? Are they going to do it with somebody else? Was I good enough? I really had a good damn time, didn't I? You know, the Course in Miracles says we had this most insane habit of believing you have to always pay for pleasure with pain. We think we just got to have some kind of pain happen after we give ourselves some kind of joy. He said that's the most insane idea that we have in our mind. It's that it's not okay for you to feel good. And that it's not okay for you to feel good all the time. And what makes this book really stand out for me is that it says stuff like, Earl, you can be happy all the time. And even though you don't know how to do that, you still should want it. And I'm so stupid that if I don't know how to do it, I won't even ask for it. It's because I don't know how to fly don't mean I'm not going to ask for an airline ticket. It's because I don't know nothing about the aerodynamics of a plane don't mean I'm not going to take one to L.A. So why is it necessary for me to understand how something works in order for me to receive the benefits of it? Suppose love would come to us today if we just stopped trying to figure out how to get it. Suppose to trying to figure out how to get it is what's blocking the love from getting to you. just questions. Now, this is kind of something that the Course in Miracles just burns me up with. Okay, you ready? It says, lead, it talks about the earth kind of, you know, but anyway. It says, lead the world of death behind. The Course says this is a death world. I don't know why I got that idea. Maybe because the millions of people die every day. Maybe that's where the word death world came from. I heard it was 260,000 in the big wave. It's up to 260,000. As I said today, it's 260,000.
Wow. You know what occurred to me is all those souls released at once.
Yes, that's the way I like to look at it. I like to look at it as a mass migration. I like to look at it like they trying to tell us something. Y'all might be a big hit. Yes. You know, if I was walking around the woods and all the animals started running in the opposite direction, I kind of wonder what was coming.
Yeah.
We need to love now. We need to change our mind now. We need to join together as one now. We can change this dream anytime we get ready because we're the ones creating it. But we need each other more than ever before because we are so lost in the insanity of our own wishes. We're so lost into the insanity of our own wishes, the only thing that matters to us are our own wishes. I just wish what I wish. I don't care what you wish. So let's all wish the same thing right now. Very powerful. This is what we're going to do. We're going to wish for happiness now. Anybody willing to do that?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't even have to do it out loud. Just for 30 seconds, let's just, in your mind, just wish for happiness now. And don't judge how correct the words are you using. Well, you shouldn't say wish, you should say will. I know somebody thinking that. Hey, just don't miss the point. The point is, let's all focus on all of us being totally safe and happy and knowing it. Okay. Wow. This is so good, y'all. I really appreciate this. Now, what happened? Now, it says in this sentence what happened to the people who died in the waves. It says what happened to them was they returned quietly to heaven. Mm-hmm. Now, heaven, the Course describes as not a place, but as a condition of perfect oneness and perfect happiness and perfect joy. Okay? So, what happened to the people who died was they returned quietly to complete happiness. That's what happened to them. They are now completely happy.
Pretty awesome.
Isn't that an awesome thought? That's a thought that you don't hear on ABC World News tonight. We'd like to say tonight that everybody that was killed, they're completely happy. So now you can go back to watching The Bachelor. ER is going to be on tomorrow night. They're all happy. Just go bowling. Okay. What you need to do is you're being given this incredible opportunity to the people who are left behind to practice loving yourself and supporting yourself and helping yourself. So the focus now should be not on the happy ones who have left, but the ones who are afraid that are here. And more people think about the people that are gone than the people who survived who are suffering. Isn't that great? Isn't that a trip?
Mm-hmm.
I bet you the people who get most thought are the people who gone. They're happy. That's what the Course says. Now, I don't have to believe that. I can't prove they're happy. Can you prove they're happy? But can you prove they're not? No. All I know is people who die tend not to look like they come back. It must be something on the other side that's better. You know, I mean, I don't know if reincarnation is true. I personally believe it is, but there's nobody that I've ever seen die in my life that I'm still seeing around me the way I still see you. You see what I'm saying? So wherever they went to, they didn't come back in that form. So the Course is saying, suppose the reason that they didn't come back was because they're completely happy where they are. We never thought about that. So, you cannot lose no matter how much you tell yourself you can. It's built into the system that each and every one of you are going to be happy in the end. So the Course says what we do is we wake up in the morning trying to figure out and plan the best way to deceive ourselves again. And we call it our plans for the day. This book is hilarious. It's hilarious. I get up every morning wanting to be right, even when I'm wrong. Because I defend my thoughts during the day. There is nothing of value here. There's everything of value there. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to God through the Holy Spirit. Listen to your right mind and to what created your right mind through your right mind. Now, say it again. Listen to your right mind. Listen to what created your right mind. And you listen to what created your right mind through your right mind. That is beautiful. Listen to your right mind. Listen to who created your right mind. But you can only listen to who created your right mind through your right mind. Now I'm going to tell you what your right mind is going to say. And unless you're hearing this, you're not listening to your right mind. Your right mind is going to speak to you of you. So your right mind is always talking to you about you. Your right mind is always what?
Talking to you about you.
I'm talking to me about me all day long. I call it thinking. Don't you? Don't you talk to you all day long? Okay. So the Course says there is no guilt in you because God is blessed in you as you are blessed in God. There is no guilt in you. So your right mind is going to tell you there is no guilt in you. You are not guilty. You are not guilty. You aren't guilty. You are not guilty. You aren't guilty. Your right mind is going to always support your innocence, even as it corrects your mistakes. So your right mind always supports your innocence, even when it corrects your mistakes. It's still supporting your innocence. So if there's any voice in your head that's making you feel guilty, that voice is not from your right mind. But it sounds like yours. So does your right mind voice. It also sounds like yours too. The difference between the two voices is what they're telling you, not the way they sound. The part of you that's your real self that really loves you is going to always, 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 and always, always remind you of how innocent and beautiful you are, even as it corrects your mistakes. The wrong mind is going to always try to make you feel guilty. It will always try to make you feel bad. It will always try to make you feel upset with yourself. The wrong mind keeps you upset with yourself, wants you to feel upset with yourself. So anything that you're telling yourself that's coming from your fearful mind is wrong, according to the Course. So how can you tell when you're listening to your Holy Spirit?
When you feel good about yourself.
Yeah, that's right. What is the message that you're getting?
You're innocent.
I'm innocent. Okay, so if there's any area of your life that you're sitting in here right now feeling guilty about, and when you think about it, you feel bad, and when you think about it, you feel sad, and when you think about it, you feel ashamed, which one of your voices are you listening to?
Wrong side.
Now, you know what the Course in Miracles definition of the wrong voice is? It's hilarious. The wrong voice is the voice you made up. It's telling us that everything that you're telling yourself to feel bad, you're the one telling yourself that. Everything that you're thinking right now that makes you feel sad, you are the one that is you're the one telling yourself the thing that's making you feel the way you feel. You are the one telling yourself the thing that you're telling yourself to make you feel the way you feel. You are making yourself feel the way you feel right now by what you are telling yourself right now. So there's nothing outside of you making you feel bad. What y'all think about that?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the power of that statement if we were really to accept it? Could you get some glimmerings of the possibility of how much peace you could have if we really accepted the idea that we're making ourselves feel the way we feel right now because of what we're telling ourselves, which means there's nobody in this room making me feel the way I feel right now. And one day I'm going to be walking down the street, maybe at King Supers, and all of a sudden I'm going to realize that I actually can feel any kind of way I want to feel, and I just start feeling good. That'll be my choice. It won't have nothing to do with what my girlfriend do, what my boyfriend do, what my boss do, how I look in the mirror, how much money I got, how much power. It won't have nothing to do with that whatsoever, because I will just have decided to feel good by no longer telling myself the things that I've been telling myself to make myself feel unhappy and guilty and sad. So I'm looking for other people to get rid of a state of mind that I'm the one keeping by thinking what I'm thinking. I'm getting mad at you for not making me feel better when I'm the one that's telling myself what's making me feel bad. So it's your responsibility to make me change my mind about how I want to feel about myself, or you are not a good friend and partner.
Yo.
Oh. Okay, this is great. This is great. This next paragraph is even deep. Anybody want to talk? You want to shake some energy up? What's up? Come on, ask a question. Let's argue. let's have a good argument. Anybody want to argue with me?
So you have expectations when someone doesn't live up to them, and then you feel bad about that, and that really has nothing to do with the fact that they didn't live up to your expectations. It's just simply your interpretation of, or whatever your experience. You shouldn't have had those expectations, and then you feel guilty because you're in Course in Miracles and you really shouldn't be because they didn't live up to your expectations,
okay,
and you're supposed to love them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you can just whip yourself bloody.
But I can tell you, I'm gonna tell you how you can escape that whole fiasco.
Yeah,
you tell exactly how to do it. No matter what you're telling yourself or whatever you're figuring out, if the end result is that you feel guilty, you know that the voice you just listened to was the wrong voice. So even if you go, I'm not doing this because I'm a good Course in Miracles student and I feel guilty because as a good Course in Miracles student, I shouldn't be this way, that's still you listening to the wrong voice, even if it's using the course to make you feel bad. Why? Because you don't like the way you feel. And if you don't like the way you feel, what you just heard is an incorrect interpretation. Now, what's so cool about that is that at some point you'll stop trying to figure out all of your thoughts and you start paying attention to the way you feel. And it's easier to pay attention to the way you feel than to spend hours analyzing meaningless data. So then you start to use your analytical ability just like anything else, like this tension cord. You turn it on when you need it and you turn it off when you don't need it. You realize that you are not the part of you that's always trying to figure everything out. And that part of you that figures, you'll use it whenever you think you need it. But you won't be figuring the rest of the time because you'll be paying attention to the way you feel. And so you know if you feel in peace, real peace, you know you're moving in the right direction. You know if you feel in misery or fear, you know you're moving in the wrong direction. And the Course's advice about misery is very simple. The Course in Miracles says, recognize misery and go the other way. Okay, got that? Let's see what we said together. Recognize misery and go the other way. Did it say, recognize misery, analyze misery, figure out misery, talk about misery, share misery? No.
Misery.
No, it said, go the other way. then people go, well, that's not being committed if you do that. That's right. You're not being committed to being miserable. Because the person who's committed to misery goes towards it and even makes love to it. The person that makes you the most unhappy is the one you're the most passionate with. Watch people and watch them. People are so interesting. The people who upset them the most are the people who turn them on the most. Watch it. Watch it. It's amazing. You study this book and it just blows your mind. Like I talk to people. You know, I've been studying this book 25 years every day, teaching it and everything. And I'm telling you, I'm telling you. Let me save you some time. What do you think I did all this crap for? To save some time. That's our job in each other's life. That's the purpose of a relationship, at the same time. If you with somebody who's not saving you time, you with the wrong person. If you're with somebody that you don't feel like you're moving faster, you're with the wrong person. The person that you're with, that's the right one, you don't feel like you're moving ahead. You're moving ahead. There, with this relationship, I'm moving ahead. Phew.
So the attraction one, say that again about the one you're most attracted to.
It's the one that turns you on. It's the one, yeah, that tends to be, I'm just saying, in our life experience, is that not true? That the person who you get turned on by the most is usually the same person you can get the most upset with. I mean, I know we all had a human experience. We can all admit that. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's true. Okay. Now, do you also see the insanity of it?
Yeah.
Even though it's true, it is insane. Can we agree that it's insane to always want the person who makes you miserable and upsets you? Can we at least just agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just going to remember, we heard earlier, we're not the ones to make it, because we are the ones who made the problem. So we're not being asked to make the solution.
But didn't you tell us once, a few weeks ago, you said, and it really got me, that the whole idea that if you're involved with someone to get something, mm-hmm. then that's fear-driven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you can say, they've turned me on. You can get turned on from a fear base.
That's exactly right.
As well as a love
base. Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. That is why I'm turned on by the person who upsets me, because I'm really in love with fear.
Yeah.
Fear is the emotion that I'm most familiar with. Fear is the one that I use the most. So it's really fear that I really know what it feels like the most. But since I couldn't stand just having one emotion and it was the same one and it was fear, I decided I'd be creative and just divide it up into a whole lot of different appearances and a whole lot of different forms. Like, you know, flying or overweight or getting mugged or, you know, we got a variety of it now because we didn't want to be bored. That's why there's so many fears in the world. It's our way of entertaining ourselves while maintaining the erroneous emotion.
Right.
Well,
I'm gonna keep away a feeling that I shouldn't keep. And since I'm going to keep it and not get rid of it, why not make it entertaining to me? And so we have some fears, of course, that we like, and we have some fears that we don't like. Now, we like the fear of, we love the way the fear of specialness feels. That's our favorite fear. It's the specialness fear. Because that's the one that feels good, but you always had this fear of losing it, though.
Mm-hmm.
But you love specialness. So, of course, that's our favorite fear, is specialness. That's our very favorite of all time fear, especially. And he said, that feels good. And then we have some fears, like if a dog biting you, that feels bad. We don't want that. But the Course says what damns us up is we want to keep the fears we like. And to have the fears you like, you have to have all of them.
You can't just pick and choose.
Okay. Now, picking and choosing our fears, that's what's called a human life.
Okay.
That's all we do all day. We pick and choose the thing that we are afraid that we might lose one day that we like the most. That's deep, man. That's what I love about the Course, man. Like, it makes me think things in ways I never would have ordinarily looked at it, but so obviously true, it's ridiculous. So you have everyone in the room has a special part to play. I'll say that again. Everybody in this room has a special part to play, and Everybody in the room has the same message that they're supposed to give in their part that they're playing. Each one of you, I'm the casting director. You've just been hired for this brand new, animated reality show.
It's just hilarious.
It's on Comedy Central. They have the first animated reality show. It's so funny. It's so funny. It's ridiculous. But just the title, an animated reality show. That was swift right there. So now, do you understand that you got your own part? You got your own part. You got your own part. Your part, not like my part. Everybody clear that we got our own individual part? Then the chorus says, but the message given to each one of us is the same message, even though we all got our own role. We all got the same message. It is this: God's child is guiltless. You are innocent. You are innocent. You are innocent. I got my special little part called Earl Purdy. And I do look different from you. And I seem to have a different life. So I do have my own special part. But I got the same message for you that you have for me. So we're supposed to be entertaining each other while we tell each other the same thing. You being you would entertain me. Me being me would entertain you. You really being you would entertain me. And me really being me would. Because you see something different. I could bask in my individuality. You could bask in your individuality. You could be unique. I could be unique. I could do it my way. You could do it your way. But underneath everything we say to each other, we're going to have one message that we're always beaming out to each other at all times. You are innocent. You are guiltless. You are innocent. You are sinless. You are love. You are innocent. You are innocent. And I do that at a club. I do that at a movie. I do it at dinner. I do it on a vacation. I do it in Hawaii. I do it in France. I'm willing to be every happy place doing my part. That's what I say to the universe. You can send Earl to every beautiful place there is for Earl to do his part. Because now he knows what his message is. And so now he knows what he's supposed to be thinking. And the promise is, if I will play my part and do my part, I will be healed and my whole life will become easy. And we were just told what our part is. But the chorus says it's so friggin' easy. And we think we are so friggin' guilty that we won't do it. We'll act like we just heard something that was hard to do. How many of y'all got that thought? That what we were just asked to do. We were just asked to be ourselves, have our minds transformed into love because we're the ones who can't do it, and to have that love forever and ever, and that you got your own special parts. I want you to be yourself, and the only message we're going to give each other is that you know something, you cool. And we go, I can't do that. Why is that so hard? Who's willing to tell me why that's so hard?
Because
investment.
If you still are guilty, then you can't see the innocence in someone else.
Beautiful. Now, why is your seeing the innocence necessary for it to be there? Why can you just know it?
Because of perception.
Right. So you don't need perception. You don't need perception to know innocence. You don't need perception to know innocence. In other words, I can look at you and think you're guilty as I don't know what, and that still wouldn't make you guilty. So all I have to do is know that you're innocent regardless of what I think about you. And I'm still recognizing your innocence.
Okay.
Regardless of what I think about you, you're still innocent. Regardless of what I think about you, you're still cool. So I can go ahead and have all the feelings I want to have about you from the lowest to the highest, and it won't have one bit of an effect on who you really are. And so your innocence will then shine forth, and I will see it, and we will be healed. See, we're under the erroneous perception that something isn't there unless we see it. And that's the denial of spiritual sight. As long as I think I have to see it for it to be real, then I miss most things. You know, phew! Isn't that a relief? Breathe. You can crack the window if it's getting hot. I know I feel a little bit warm. Don't y'all feel a little bit warm?
Yeah,
I noticed that. That's on the inside, but it seems like it's on the outside.
Earl, you asked about why we don't acknowledge our own innocence.
Yeah.
And I was reading this book, one of my favorite books, the Hafez book.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll read something, and it goes, it's very poetically in one page, confirms my innocence. And I'm like, yeah, I got it, cool. And then I'll turn the page to another poem, and it will hit me from another side, in a place I didn't know I wasn't seeing myself as innocent. So just to take in the statement that I'm innocent, it's like, but the mind still has, okay, I can acknowledge it intellectually right here, right now. But there's a million ways that I still don't believe that I'm innocent.
And that's what brings us back, Greg, back to the original thing that we were told about, you know, when the real voice is speaking to you, what you're gonna feel is love and peace. Because we come back to the feeling. If the feeling isn't happening, then I am misperceiving. And what's the advantage of telling your mind is misperceiving every time you're unhappy? Your mind has already been trained not to misperceive. Your mind wants to perceive correctly. So every time you say this is a misperception, your mind automatically wants to correct it. But if you want to be right, you're never going to say you're misperceiving, so your mind never gets a chance to correct it. Wow! That's deep. And before everybody melts into the woodwork, there is one more sentence that is awesome. It says, unless you teach that we are guiltless, and unless you learn that we are guiltless, you suffer the pain of dim awareness that your true function remains unfulfilled in you. So the Course is saying the suffering that we are experiencing is really pain. Okay, you got this? But pain is caused by dim awareness. When your awareness is dim, that's what causes pain. First you have a dim awareness, then you have physical pain. So pain comes from having a dim awareness. So what is it? Where does a dim awareness come from?
You don't know that there's an inner voice, one.
Yes. Come on, talk to me. That's
one
it.
One good and one bad.
Yeah. I have a dim awareness. I can't tell the difference between when I'm listening to the right voice and when I'm listening to the wrong voice. I have a dim awareness. I think that love somehow isn't available to me. I have a dim awareness. I'm not teaching the people around me through my vibration that they're innocent. Mm-hmm. And so every time I don't fulfill my function, then I suffer. So the Course is saying suffering is coming from not fulfilling your function. The suffering isn't coming from the thing that you think is coming from in the world. The suffering that you're going through is not coming from the situation that you think the suffering is coming from. The suffering is coming from you not fulfilling your function of seeing everyone in that situation as innocent. Because that's your function. Your function is to see their innocence for them, even when they forget about it, and even when you don't see it yourself, by just remembering that it's there, even though you don't see it. And your bills will be paid. Your relationship will show up. Your healing will happen as soon as you fulfill your function. And your function is to be yourself and to remember that everyone around you, they are not guilty, even if you don't see their innocence. That one idea will transform your mind into a radiant message of God's love. And that's all you'll be receiving. That was an answer. We just got a whole lot of answers. There was nothing abstract about this class. This class was totally bam, 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 bam. What makes it so hard to remember? What keeps me from doing it? Who can tell me?
Pride.
Not realizing you're in pain.
Not realizing that you are innocent.
Listening to the
not realizing you are innocent.
Listening to the
What'd you say?
Listening to the bad voice.
There you go. I'm listening. In other words, for all of us to sit up, for Spencer, not all of us, I'm talking about me. For me to sit up in a situation and be told that in order to have my whole mind transformed into love, that I never lose, that's always around me all the time, all I have to do is be willing to play my part, which is for me to express myself the way that's most natural for me. And every time I see anybody, just to have the one message that I want to give to them is God's Son is guiltless. And that if I can do that, if I would do that, my suffering will end on every level I think I'm suffering on.
So you can like fake it till you believe it.
You know what's so great is you don't even have to fake it. You can go ahead and not believe that I'm innocent and still know that I am. And y'all know exactly what I mean, even though it would blow a fuse in us to try to figure that out. But a part of us know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like me looking at you as a woman, but knowing that you're not. I do that all the time. I didn't start to have even any kind of real peaceful relationships and love relationships with women until I stopped seeing them as women. Because then I tapped into a part of them that was beyond the idea of them being a woman. And they tapped into a part of me that was beyond the idea of being a man. And at that level, we can communicate. But the minute we drop down into I'm a woman and you a man, then we go into the separation crap. And then we become more and more and more different and more separate and more afraid of each other. And so we lose sight of who we really are and start to be attracted to the wrong people, because now we are so deep into fear that we think love is fear. And so we're attracted to fear and we run away from love. And that's the most common quality that you will notice about people in this plane, is that they run away from what's nice and loving and gentle and kind and become suspicious of it. And they rush to what causes them conflict, fear, criticism, and judgment. They love it. Just, if you think I'm kidding, just observe. That's what this book kept saying to me. Look, all you got to do is, he says, there's nothing so easy to recognize as the obvious. But to your ego, there's nothing harder to recognize than the obvious. The person takes your head and slams it against the wall. And then you ask, do they love me? It's obvious. They just slam your friggin' head up against the wall. They don't. See how obvious it is? But for a person who wants to suffer, that's the hardest realization that you can ever make. Because if they move away from that person, they'll move away from the punishment that they think they deserve for being so worthless and no good. So you always attract a partner that's a reflection of your subconscious belief about what you deserve, regardless of what you're telling yourself. And so the Course is saying that what you deserve is to be given the message that you're innocent and that you're beautiful and that you're guiltless. Because had you been given that message from the very beginning, there wouldn't be the hole in you that believes it needs to suffer that would even attract the person that's abusing you to begin with. So there's no better time than right now to start telling each other what we should have been telling each other all the time, so we can get the result right now. But since it's so weird in terms of what the world thinks, then we have to come together like we're doing right now and say it to each other consciously.
So is the person... I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Explode.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the person that slams you up against the wall and now you're in Course in Miracles and you're gonna remember that they're innocent, or the person just slammed you up against the wall and you say, that's misery, I'm running the other way, and when you get about, you know, two countries away, you'll remember that they're innocent.
It's perfectly okay to separate to heal. It's perfectly okay. As a matter of fact, I say it to people all the time about with my classes. I love the fact that people who don't like me when they come to my class don't come back. I love it when the people who don't like the way I teach don't come back. I used to be in a world where people who didn't treat me right stayed with me. So that's all I'm going to talk about today.
Oh, they're innocent.
listen, but you don't have to hang with them.
Remember, any voice that would tell you to stay where there is pain is what?
The wrong voice.
And then you have to check in with the voice from moment to moment. That's how you do guidance. You don't do guidance from the past. Guidance is always right now. So since guidance is always right now, if I'm feeling the misery right now, I need to go the other way right now. Because this is the way I feel right now. I need to, something, I should move away from some thought, some feeling. Something is going on because I'm miserable. There's something I need to be moving away from, which is good because that's a positive use of separation. And since we know how to separate better than we know how to do anything, we're going to find ourselves separating from everything that hurts us. Mm-hmm. The way that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That you're just going to automatically, oh, I know how to separate. Oh, you don't love me? Boom, I'm gone. I'm out of here. No problem. I wish you well.
It's like you're there at the curb, and you open this door to this Ferrari, and you say, Chuck, get in the Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, no, I got this representative. Remember you said send our representative?
Yeah, I represent the new people.
I got this Vespa.
Uh-huh.
And I invest a lot of time, take care of my Vespa.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep saying, here's the curb, here's the door. I got 25 years in this Ferrari. You want to get in? But all the fear that has driven me in my Vespa, I got comfort on this Vespa.
The pleasant form of fear.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Right? And now you see what I was talking about. Because you want the pleasant form of fear, you have to stay in the world with your Ferrari that has a hurricane. Because they're in the same world. The world of the Ferrari is also the same world that tsunamis happen in. So if I want my pleasant illusion, I have to have the whole shebang. I don't like that. But it's still the truth. And so I get the message, well, how do I be here in this world and not hurt myself? Well, what you do is, this is how you do it. First you say, the only thing in my mind that's really real is what's linking me with love. Then you go, I really want to have my whole mind transformed into love right now. Then you go, even here, love is yearning for me and I'm yearning for love. Even here, I want to return quietly to heaven. I really want to get back to my real happiness. Even here, there is nothing of value in fear. There is everything of value in love. So I'm going to listen to my right mind, and my right mind is going to always talk to me about me. And my right mind is going to tell me there's no guilt in me. And then I got this special part that I'm going to play because I have my own individual Earl Purdy identity. But no matter what Earl Purdy does, his message to every one of you is going to be silently or verbally, you are innocent. And if I do that, I can be in the world of the Ferrari without the pain. We're having a good time.
Yeah, me too.
Do you hear me? Yeah. See, that was the answer. But it wasn't the one we made up. And so the Course says we don't value anything we don't make up. So when we come to classes or read books, we're listening for the answer we made up. And when we read the answer we made up on the page, we say, this is the answer. Then we go do that answer, and the same things keep on happening. So it's a good chance the answer is going to be something you did not think of, which is, use your individuality, do your thing, and everybody you around silently acknowledge their innocence, even if you don't see it, and watch what starts to happen to your life. I'm excited because I heard it for the first time. Only took me 25 years. I'm in the special ed God child class. Looking a little early. He's finally getting it. I know you want to be hotter than that. I know, little girl. That's why you're crazy. That's why you're retard. But she wanted to be hotter. That's just right. Okay. Oh, man, there's so much going on. I'm going to do the love offering. I'm going to share some of it right quick. These are flyers for a relationship seminar that Stephanie Padilla and I are going to be doing on the 12th of February that is unlike any relationship seminar I have ever done or ever seen. The thing that we wanted to do more than anything was make sure that it was rooted in the course, but it was absolutely taking an approach that we hadn't ever heard anyone take before. So it is not going to be at all the typical relationship seminar. And it's not about just love relationships. It's any kind of relationship that you have.
Would that be like towards work?
Any kind of relationship, work, I don't care what it is, it's off the hook. So anybody like a flyer so they can read more about it. Okay, I'm gonna let you pass that around. If you want to do it, it's gonna be limited enrollment in it. So if you really want to do it, then it would be great. It'd be great to go ahead and register. Let me pass the bag. Thank you for sharing with me. Y'all know I do this for a living, and I appreciate y'all's generosity. You know, and let me tell you something. You can do what you love and be taken care of. You can do what you love and be taken care of. You do not have to make a living doing what you don't like in order to be taken care of. If you were doing what you really like to do, but you were remembering to give the people around you the message that they're innocent, then you would attract clients and customers and money to you doing your own thing, because you would be fulfilling your function. And when you fulfill your function, you're taken care of. When you don't fulfill your function, you're not being punished. You just make yourself struggle. And the struggling that you put yourself through, your ego tells you you're being punished for doing something wrong. And you don't know that things aren't going bad for you because you're guilty. Things are going bad for you because you will not allow your mind to be transformed into a radiant message of love for you. See, the universe is asking permission from all of us to let it fulfill us.
And all we have to do is walk around and everybody we see remember that they are in.
That's what we just heard.
Yeah.
And we were told, since it's true, you don't have to believe it.
You just think it.
Just think it. This book is all about, well, you just think it. I know you don't understand. And you can just friggin' think it. So like one day it hit me, oh. So, and then we got another incredible thing that's going on. I'm going to start doing a class on Tuesdays at 12:30 in February to 1:30 in South Denver. I want to get some things going on in that part of town. And Terry Bay would give me the address. You remember the address?
Yeah, I left it.
Okay. What's the name of it?
It's the Old Hamden Holistic Center. It's on South Corona. It's down the street from Swedish.
Yeah.
We'll have a flyer next.
Yeah, we're going to have one, because I'm working on that too. And it's a very beautiful place. And so I want to try to reach out to people in other parts of the city. And so, if you have people out in that part of town, then, like I say, invite them to come, because I got a whole new way I want to do this stuff. And then in March, I'm going to do a 5-week series of the 2 hours a night just based on what the bleep meets the Course in Miracles.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be like, what the bleep meets the Course in Miracles for a five-week workshop series of practical application of those principles and how they mix together. And so that's going to be, I'm really excited about seeing what happens. And so all those people we know that seen what the bleep, and they wonder, like, what's next? What can I do? Well, that's where you send them. Because then it'll be a whole thing of just bringing the whole thought system in and showing them how it operates and everything,
Since Earl brought up the What the Bleep thing, there's a What the Bleep conference in Santa Monica.
Really? Yes. We got down today. I don't know if y'all realize, but we was like all the way in it. Did y'all feel that? I mean, we went deep. We went deep. That was huge. There was a lot of stuff. So I order you to forget most of what you've heard when you leave. Don't even remember you came. You know, it works when you least expect it. But if you remember one, all you need to do is remember one sentence that you heard today. Just one thing. So who would guess what would be the main thing that we would remember?
You are innocent.
That you're innocent, okay?
Yes.
Did we also get that our belief is not necessary? Because this is the spiritual path to awakening for people who doubt and don't believe. God loves us so much, God didn't even leave us out. So this is the path for people who doubt and fear. Isn't that cool? I love it. To me, that's like incredible. You mean all I have to do is think it and say it and don't necessarily believe it? I'm good at saying stuff I don't believe. We all are. We all are practicing, not always saying exactly what we believe in the moment. So this is a brilliant, brilliant plan. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in terms of just trying to let the course come straight through me. And let's see if every time we get together, we can stretch our consciousness a little bit more. Because I feel like I've been stretched. Anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you all are incredible. I appreciate you. You just reek of innocence. And I see y'all the next day. Anything else I missed?
Earl does not have your email address.
Oh, yeah.